In Acts chapter 10, 44 through 48, we read, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." We've been studying about the conversion of Cornelius, and we're going to return to Elam's notes in just a moment and read about this instance of the Holy Spirit coming on the household of Cornelius. For some have contended that because the Holy Spirit came on them before they were baptized, that they did not need to be baptized to be saved. And yet this very passage says they were commanded to be baptized. You think you can be saved without obeying a command of God? Then you have misread this passage. Well, we'll get to this in just a moment. Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, listening to E.A. Elam, in notes he wrote for Sunday Schools of June 7th, 1925, he said, "No vision, a miraculous manifestation, in the case of Cornelius, released him from any obligation to obey God. These all confirmed the truth and impressed the necessity of obedience. No vision, should there be such a thing, dream or experience of any kind or anything else, can release one from the necessity of obedience to God." Peter was speaking to the household of Cornelius. As he was beginning to speak, his speech was interrupted by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his friends. And this was like the baptism of the Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. This time, instead of being poured out on the speakers, it was poured out on the hearers. It was poured out on the Gentiles by the Lord, as on the apostles at the beginning, Acts 11:15. And therefore, it was poured out in a way it had never been poured out on any except on the apostles on Pentecost. And there are but two occurrences recorded of this reception of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. There is a third that is implied, and that is in the case of Paul, because he came behind the apostles in no special gift. And so the Holy Spirit must have come directly on Paul, but we read of three times when it came directly upon men. It came upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. It came upon Cornelius here in his household, and by implication, it came upon Paul at some time. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a great miracle, and it was the fullest measure, the greatest gift of the Spirit bestowed upon men. All miraculous gifts of the Spirit were not baptisms of the Spirit. These baptisms of the Spirit were reserved for the apostles, and the Spirit came upon the household of Cornelius in a manner that was likened to the way it came upon the apostles. These miraculous gifts or measures of the Spirit were usually bestowed upon others by the imposition of hands, and they must be distinguished from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out from the Lord directly from heaven. The baptism of the Spirit and the miraculous measures or gifts of the Spirit must be distinguished from that ordinary measure or gift which all received who obey God. This coming of the Spirit was not to convert people or bring them to the knowledge of the remission of their sins. The apostles were disciples of Christ for 3 years before they were baptized of the Spirit, and the Samaritans had received the gospel and had been baptized sometime before they received the miraculous gift of the Spirit in Acts 8:14 through 17, and so with those in Ephesus in Acts 19:1 through 7. In none of these cases was a miraculous gift of the Spirit connected with the remission of sins. Those sins had either already been remitted or they were about to be remitted in connection with this outpouring of the Spirit. But it wasn't the outpouring of the Spirit itself that gave them the forgiveness of sins. Cornelius and his household received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were given the Spirit in this manner to convince the Jews present and those at Jerusalem later that God had accepted the Gentiles and they should be allowed to obey the gospel and be received into the church. Therefore, Peter at once said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" That's Acts 10 and verse 47. "Then let it be further said and understood that this coming of the Holy Spirit or any other miracle could not release Cornelius and cannot release one now, should such miracles occur, from the necessity of obeying God in baptism. Since God has thus shown his approval, could any Jew object?" Those who accompanied Peter were amazed, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, verses 45 and 46. And none raised an objection, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then at Jerusalem, as the following lesson shows, he used this fact to show the Jews there that God had accepted the Gentiles on the same faith he had accepted the Jews. By receiving the Spirit, it was not necessary to receive the Spirit in this manner to prepare one for baptism as water, since the apostles were disciples of Christ 3 years before they were baptized in the Spirit, and the Samaritans had believed and been baptized some time before they received any miraculous measure of the Spirit. And neither did this coming of the Holy Spirit set aside the importance of obedience to God in baptism. Those baptized in the Spirit still needed to be baptized in water. Let me read the fullness of this account, and it'll lead into the Sunday school lesson that follows this. I'm going to begin reading in Acts chapter 10, and I'll take it up in verse 1, and then we'll read all the way down through Acts chapter 11, and verse 18, and that'll give us the full story of this conversion of Cornelius. It says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, "Now there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision openly, as it were, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he, fastening his eyes on him, and being affrighted, said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Thy prayers and thine alms are gone up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and fetch one Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And when the angel that spake unto him was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And having rehearsed all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now on the morrow, as they were on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he beholdeth the heaven open, and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of heaven. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And a voice came unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Acts chapter 10 and verse 17. Now while Peter was much perplexed in himself, what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodging there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men seek thee. But arise, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof you are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous man, and one that feared God, and well reported of by all the nation of the Jews, was warned of God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words from thee." So he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow he arose and went forth with them, and certain of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Acts 10 and verse 24. And on the morrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And when it came to pass that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter, rising him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and findeth many come together. And he said unto them, "Ye yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or to come unto one of another nation. And yet unto me God hath shown that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying when I was sent for. And I ask therefore with what intent you sent me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago unto this hour, I was keeping the ninth hour of prayer in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright apparel and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance. My alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call to thee Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He lodgeth in the house of Simon, a tanner by the seaside. Forthwith therefore I sent thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here in present in the sight of God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of the Lord.' And Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. The word which he sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that saying ye yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth. We'll continue in our next class.